Good morning to you all, and a very happy Christmas, and a very happy Christmas from the rector, who's about to dash off down the hill and take another service, but he can give us a wave, and happy Christmas to the rector. There are, you will be amazed to know, no notices. The only thing I need to say is that for those of you who thought I always wore a suit and tie, you have to now think nearly always wears a suit and tie. But it is Christmas Day, and there will be coffee and mince pies at the end of the service. For those of you watching on the live stream, you'll have to do your own coffee and mince pies, but we shall enjoy them here. Let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that enormous, great gift of sending your Son to leave heaven and come to a lowly birth on earth, to live amongst us, to be our Saviour, to enable us to live with you. And we thank you that after all these years we can still celebrate that birth in Bethlehem. And we ask now that your Spirit would move among us as we worship you this morning. Be with us all for Jesus' sake. Amen. And we're going to start off by lighting. I'm going to take these off because I can't see the right bit if I wear those varifocals. Yes, we're going to start off with the Advent rings. And so if you'd like to come and have a match. And you can have a matchbox. If you'd like to light one of them from the first Sunday of Advent, we lit that one and we say together, we light this candle to remind us of God's people who in every age watch for his coming. We are in a historical situation, and we move on to the second candle. I'm going to use a whole box of matches at this rate. And we say together, we light this candle to help us think of God's greatest promise first told by the prophets. And we move on to the third candle, which we lit 2 weeks ago. And we say together, we light this candle to remind us of John the Baptist, who passed on God's message, get ready for your king. And as we came to last week, the fourth Sunday of Advent, we lit the fourth candle. And we say together, we light this candle to remind us of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who told God she would obey. And finally, as we have reached Christmas Day, we light the central candle. And say together, we light this candle to celebrate the birth of Jesus, who has come into this world and shines into our lives. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. And so we come to our first. All the carols that we're singing today are ones that were not included in the carol service last week. So as far as those of you who are concerned, who were here last week, there will be no repeats, but we start off with, O come, all ye faithful. Would you like to sit down? And as we celebrate the birth of God in human form all those years ago, and we lit a candle to remind us of Mary who said she would obey, and we know that sometimes we don't do the right things, we don't obey God our Lord and Saviour, and so we come to a time of saying sorry for those things. And we say together, we confess that in the midst of all our anxieties, we have not made room in our hearts for others. We confess that paralyzed by fear, prejudice, or apathy, we have not made room in our homes for the stranger. We confess that in the busyness of Christmas time, we have not made room in our lives for you. Gracious God, forgive us and renew us. Use this Christmas time to break open our hearts, throw open the doors, open our eyes to your presence, and open our arms wide to welcome you. God is good. God is faithful. God is merciful. And God comes to us in vulnerability again and again to show us how much we are loved. And so we can all know as we say together, we are forgiven, we are freed, we are beloved, we are blessed. Thanks be to God. Amen. And Sarah Eden is now going to come and bring us our reading. Sarah.
The reading is taken from John chapter 1, starting at verse 1 and ending at verse 18, and it can be found on page 1063 of the Church Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The light came into the world, and yet we could see him lying on a bed of straw. You'd like to sit down, unless of course you're called Paul, in which case you're going to come up here and it's over to you.
Thank you, Peter, so much. Thank you. Sort of reminded this morning of birth and death, because you didn't see it, but Peter was here, one of the first, and there was a fox, quite a youngish fox, right by the entrance of the church, and it died in the night. And it was just, to me, birth and death somehow. And then Peter went and put the fox away. But just birth and death are so close, aren't they, I think, for all of us. So, Lord, as we just come to you, carry us, Lord, to Bethlehem, as we've been just singing. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. Amen. Amen. Well, I wonder when in your life you began to realize that the great God had become flesh. It may have been a slow process. I think it is for most of us as we begin to realize new truths. It may have been a very sudden thing. A moment of transformation, and you just realize whew, you know, this is for real. I had the thought for the day this last week when the speaker who'd been I think she was a teacher originally, but she remembered when she was at school and doing English, which was so boring, until the teacher said, "Put your chairs back, girls. We're now going to act it out." And she said, that for me was when English became a living thing. Well, that is not my experience of school, but it was very good actually to hear that. You know, it may be sometimes just a total sense of failure in one's own life. And I remember just reading this last week about Chuck Colson. Gosh, that goes back to the Watergate decades ago. And the time when he was in his car and he was caught up in the whole Watergate thing, if you remember, decades ago, and he just wept and wept. And he said, that was the moment that God changed my life. It may be that someone right out of your comfort zone said something and you felt, gosh, this is real. Our daughter was in South Africa on a gap year and the pastor there said to her one day, "You know, Debbie, had you ever thought if Christ comes back today, what's going to happen to you?" That changed her life. One question, and she said, "I'm getting back to God." It can happen in the Holy Communion. It could happen today. I remember years ago, I taught for some year. I was chaplain at the University of Malaya for some years, and Zara came and spent Christmas with us, and we went to our village church on Christmas Day. And Zara, a Malay girl, now in Malaysia, if you're going to change your religion, you have to do it through a court of law. And Zara, bless her, came with us to our village church, the old traditional service, and it totally changed her life. She became a Christian. She said to me, "Don't ever contact me again. It's going to be too difficult when I go back to my own country." But she said, "Now I know I belong to Christ." When was the time for you when you began to realize God in the flesh? For me, it was in the Sheffield Steelworks. I'd been in the army a couple of years. I'd been to college, even studied theology, and that was so difficult. And I thought, how does God find me? How do I find God? And I went and worked for a year in the steelworks in Sheffield. Me with my posh accent. I couldn't understand them. They couldn't understand me. Sometimes when they said, "Where's I been? Where's I been?" what they're saying is, "Where have you been?" But I said, "Well, what did you say?" I was a total stranger. And it took a lot to begin to feel that I was just accepted for who I was. But you know, in that experience, I remember I was working in the desert with these hot ingots coming down the line and with my mates and with our helmets on and everything else. And they called it the desert. And I just felt, gosh, you know, maybe here I find God. And my mentor, a wonderful Christian man, he said one day, "Paul, what do you see in your melting shop?" I said, "Well, I see the desert where I work. I see the cranes. I see the kiln. I see my mates." He said, "What do you see?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I see God. I see God." That totally changed my attitude to that steelworks. God in the flesh, amongst my mates, in the desert, amongst the filth and the muck, they called it muck, I think, but for me it was muck anyway. And it was there that I began to feel, you know, God, I think you're going to find me in this most unlikely place for someone like me. God, you see, in the everyday, the heaven in ordinary, that beautiful description in a poem, God, heaven in ordinary. Heaven in ordinary. Beautiful phrase, actually. There's an early Christian saying which says, lift the stone and you will find me. Cleave the wood and I am there. Is that a beautiful saying? Lift a stone, God's there. Cleave the wood and I am there. I love, I'm not going to apologise for using poetry because poetry brings life to so many people nowadays. But it's Mandy Hopkins who wrote this, in an Englishman, but in Wales. Of her flesh he took flesh. He does take fresh and fresh, though much the mystery how. Not flesh but spirit now. And, oh marvellous, he brings new Nazareths in us. We live today in a new Nazareth. Isn't that amazing? Not flesh, but the spirit now. New Nazareths in us. So there's the big picture and there's the local picture. Both are important. Peter's done wonderful work. Peter, you're going to put up this wonderful Rublev icon. There it is. We know it. I've got it here. You can, afterwards, come and look at this one. And as you look at it on the screen, there's the Holy Trinity. And you see right in the middle, there's the chalice, the blood of Christ. At the heart of the Holy Trinity is the blood of Christ. This was in the early 15th century. Russia was overcome, the Tatars, the terrible massacres, invaders from the north. Russia was in ruins in many ways. And St. Sergius, who was their great saint, he said there's only one thing that will defeat the forces of evil, and that is against what he called the devouring hatred of humankind. And that is the Holy Trinity. And St. Sergius said to Rublev, the greatest iconic painter ever, he said, do paint the Holy Trinity. This is, they call it the icon of icons, which reaches the very heart of God, reaches your heart and mine, because the heart of it is the chalice, which in a few minutes we're going to be receiving ourselves in the communion. That's the big scene. And then there's the local scene. I think we have another one to come, Peter. This is a wonderful... You've done very well to find these, because this is not so well known. It's Holman Hunt. We'll come to his Light of the World in a few minutes. But can you see, it's Christ in his carpenter's shop. And the more you look at it, and you have to look at these kind of pictures, and his arms are raised, and can you see Mary is kneeling, and she's looking towards the cross, the shadow of the cross on his life. And there's Christ, Jesus, in amongst all the wood and the tools and everything. Mary, I think, is a bit of gold there. Is it what she's kept all her life? A bit of that gold or incense or frankincense. But she knows a sword will go through her own heart, and her own body is in line with the shadow of Christ and the cross. I think it's the most amazing picture. Again, I have it here, and afterwards do feel free to look at it. So this is the small picture, isn't it? This is your life, and this is my life, the local picture. And one writer says about our lives, says it's as if we are totally bankrupt spiritually. We've lost our home. We've lost we can't pay our mortgage, our savings have disappeared, everything's gone. And Christ says, or God says, I will become bankrupt and will share and be part of what you are. So it is not only God in man, it's God as man. In 2 Corinthians 9:5, St. Paul says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Such riches that we have. And 1 John puts it so beautifully. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard with our ears, which we have seen with our physical eyes, this is the flesh, which we've looked upon, and the word there means we've gazed upon, seeing through the outer meaning into the inner meaning, and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. What we'll do in a few minutes with the bread and wine, actually the body of Christ touched with our hands and which we take into ourselves. So here's Jesus himself in that manger, which was actually just a hard crib for food, for cattle, and in the backyard of a pub, the word made flesh. And Christ himself, as he grew up, this sense of no room in the inn. He came to his own received him not. He came into the world did not recognize him. He came to his own family, and his brothers did not believe in him, we're told. His family tried to take him away because they thought he was mad. It's so hard to believe that this Christ, despised as he was in fact the Saviour of the world. I just wrote these words as I come to the end of what I'm sharing. I wrote these words just a few days ago, actually, and just share them with you. It's very short. It's called, It's So Hard to Believe. God made flesh, like me, with me, for me. The consoler becomes the desolate one, raising each of us to consolation. With the world hovering in infinitesimal space, in its beautiful yet ravaged life, still upheld by the word of his power. That was just, I was just gazing out of the kitchen window. It's the fact that this, which seems as a thought for the day this week put it, the possibility of impossible things. God becoming flesh. How to believe he chooses a baby. How to believe his body is given to us in bread and wine in a few minutes' time. It's so hard to believe. So the Word of God made flesh. And that Word that was made flesh dwells with us, moved into our neighborhood. That's a wonderful translation, paraphrase. The word moved into our neighborhood. Or Jesus says in the middle of St. John's Gospel, the word, he says, I make my home in you, and you make yours in me. The word dwells with us. And the last picture we've got, Peter, is the picture which you will know so well. It's the light of the world. Again, you can gaze at a copy which I have here. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture. I just come back to it for myself again and again, because you can see all the obstacles to our lives that are just there. All the things we've confessed this morning and just let go, but they're all there in our lives. And Jesus himself is standing. And as someone said, there's no handle on the door. If anyone hears his voice and opens the door, I will come in and will eat with him, with her, and her and him with me. And what I love about this is that the Lord, he goes on standing. And the word actually, in the original tense, it means he has stood, but he goes on standing all the time. He stands this morning, my good friends, at the door of our hearts. He will not stop knocking. He will not stop knocking. And again he says, let me come in. Let me bring the light I have into your life. And I want to do the most wonderful thing that anybody can ever do, which is to sit down and to share bread and food with someone else. He came and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Beheld his glory. If you want to know what glory is, look at Jesus. Look at the babe, his wonderful figures we've got here, lying in that trough where the cattle feed in the backyard of a pub. That's where glory is. And St. Paul says a lovely thing. It's in one of his first letters, in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 2:20. He says to those people, he says, you are my glory and my joy. So as we come up in a few moments, we take communion. Think of the people on each side of you. Think of others here in the church. Think of people back home. Think of people on your heart. And you say, well, you are my glory. You are my joy. And it just makes me feel, Lord, forgive me, that I can sometimes look at my brothers and sisters here and I can forget that you are my glory. You are my joy. I am your glory. I find this difficult to believe. I'm your joy. Jesus himself says, I have given them the glory that you gave to me. Speaking to his Father, John 17, I've given to them, to you and to me, the glory which you've given to me. We share the glory of Jesus. We reveal the glory to one another. Just bow our heads a moment if you feel you can. Lord, with gratitude that you've become this human flesh among us. Just also want to hold up this beautiful cross that belongs to a member of our congregation here. This wonderful cross, because, Lord, you came and your ultimate glory was to be lifted on this cross and draw all people to you and to be for us and for the world salvation and deliverance. Thank you for each other revealing the glory God. Amen.
As we reflect on Paul's words, we'll stand, if we are able, and sing again, Silent Night, Holy Night. If you'd like to sit or kneel, June will come and lead us in our prayers.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, by being born one of us and lying humbly in a manger, you showed how much God loves the world. Let the light of your love always shine in our hearts until we are home with you in the new creation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, draws us to kneel in wonder at heaven's touching earth. Accept our prayers as we worship you, our Saviour and our God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Jesus, you were born in a lowly stable and worshipped by angels. Be with all who are lonely and in need and who feel distant from celebrations this year. Especially we pray for the homeless, the poor, and all those who live in war-torn countries. Draw close to them, Lord Jesus. Lord, you are the living hope that lightens our darkness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Jesus, as you healed the sick, we bring healing to those in our families and communities who are unwell at this time. So we can just spend a few moments in silent prayer, bringing those people that we know to the Lord. Let's just sit in silence and ask him to bring healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The kings, Lord, brought myrrh, frankincense, and gold. Lord, we have nothing of our own to bring. We simply bring ourselves to you. We're going to spend a moment again just bringing things to the Lord for ourselves. We just thank you for the words that Paul brought to us this morning. Let's just spend another moment. Lord, we thank you this morning when Paul spoke to us that we were able to reflect at our own times when we met you for the first time and that you brought life, true life, into our lives. Jesus, Saviour, Son of Mary, made flesh, you know us and you love us. You share our lives and hear our prayers. Glory to you forever. We say together, Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
There are, of course, many ways of praying. And as you look at the front of the church, you will see candles on the background there. Those are the prayers that were written by the children and their adults at Messy Church yesterday afternoon. And we pray that God will accept those prayers as he accepts our prayers. Now we'll stand for the peace. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And now I hand over to Paul again. You may like to share a sign of peace with one another. And Paul will come and celebrate communion for us.
I'm going to put on this stole, which was a gift to this church through B, who spent many years in was born actually in Peru and has just recently been out as a translator for our two bishops and a group from our own diocese. And so this links us to the church in South America, I think, in a wonderful way as we break bread. So they break bread and we're together in the body of Christ. And Bishop John, when he came back, he wrote for all of us in the diocese. He wrote about his experience with B and others in Peru. He said, "We have a cost of living crisis, but poverty there is of a different magnitude." I just share this from the food kitchen, which the diocese and all of us as part of that support. He said, "There's no running water or electricity. There's no work, no social security. There's no there's enough food barely to survive, and there's no health care." He says it's just very humbling. So we join with God's people in Peru and South America and receive with them the body and blood of Jesus. Maybe I can just say, we have here, and Peter will help me with the, we have a chalice, and I just dip the bread into the wine. We have gluten-free bread, if you would like that, and we have non-alcoholic wine. So if you just have a word with me and Peter, and we have that for you. But if you love the Lord, come this day, receive his precious body, his poured out blood. I think at this stage, if you feel able to stand, if we may. I say what's in yellow, and if you say what is in the white. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread. He gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, He gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Would you be seated or kneel to pray? And together with God's people in Peru, God's people in Ukraine, in Russia, in many parts of the world, with whom we are linked in different ways, corporately and personally, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this cup, eat this bread, and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. Feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. Together we say these words. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifest great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
So let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. As we come to our final carol, a little bit of poetic license, because we really don't know what the weather was like when Jesus was born, Nevertheless, we can stand and sing, "See Amid the Winter's Snow."
Thank you.
Lord, all that we have is yours. We can but bring you small tokens of all the good things that you have given us. And so we offer you this money and the money that's paid into the bank accounts, that it all may be used to your glory and build your church. In Jesus' name. Amen. And so as we come to the end of this service, may the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be ours this Christmas. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. If you would like someone to pray with you, there's a prayer station at the back. If you merely want coffee and a mince pie, there's coffee and mince pie at the front. Have a good Christmas, one and all.